Yes, we learn things from the actions of other believers. And if it happens to be the believers in the Bible, it's a sort of God-directed way to learn about his or her actions of whom we're imitating. Today we're going to learn from the positive actions of a woman of faith. Now you already know who it is, but it's not Eve, it's not Sarah, it's not Jewish midwives, it's not Moses' mother, it's not Ruth, it's not Mary, it's not Phoebe, it's Rahab the prostitute. From her, we'll primarily learn that it is a serious and wonderful decision to commit yourself to God and his church. A serious and wonderful decision to commit yourself to God and his church. Our text will be the book of Hebrews. That's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, Acts. Then you got 13 Paul books, and then you get the Hebrews. If you hit James, you went too far. So Hebrews chapter 11, which we'll say more about in a few minutes. Ruth is in the city of Jericho, so I'm going to read verse 30 of chapter 11 and 31 that relates directly to Rahab. Hear the written word of God, Hebrews 11, 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, but because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may our faith in you be increased as we look at this believer, this woman, Rahab. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Now, I assume many of you, and I'm assuming not all of you, have all the Rahab facts at the top of your head. So we're going to read from Joshua, get all the facts about Rahab back into our minds. So if you want to, we'll turn to the Old Testament, Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So it's the sixth book. If you get the Judges, you went one too far. So Joshua chapter 2, and we'll see that's about Rahab and the spies. The spies will leave. A bunch of other stuff will happen. And then chapter 6, Rahab will come back in. Now, as the book of Joshua opens, Moses has died, and Israel has just started to take the promised land. And if you look at a map, you'll have on the far west, the Mediterranean Sea, then you have what you think of as Israel or the promised land. Then you'll have Jordan, and then east of the Jordan, there's a little bit of the promised land. Israel has already captured that east of the Jordan, but they got to go west and go across the Jordan, get into the primary promised land. They haven't done that yet. And the first big city that they're going to have to encounter is Jericho. So Jericho is sort of the first one of getting into the promised land. Now, the people of Canaan have sinned horribly, and part of their punishment is the destruction of their cities. Joshua chapter 2, and I'm going to read here originally the first 21 verses of this great story about Rahab. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim. That's a town just east of the Jordan. They're in on the east side. They got to go west, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into a house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all of the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them within the stalks of flax, as she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. So Rahab had tricked the Jericho police and said, "Oh, I didn't know who they were. And by the way, they already left. If you hustle, maybe you can catch them." That was not true. She had hidden them on her roof. Verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction." And that's part of their, on the east side of the Jordan, part of their conquest. Verse 11. "And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God." Now here's her statement of faith. "He is God in the heavens. For the Lord your God, and above and on the earth beneath." To repeat. "For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our lives for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the persecutors will encounter you." In other words, don't go east back toward the Jordan. Go west up into the hills, and then later they'll go back to their camp. Verse 17. The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord to the window. Now go over a couple chapters to chapter 6. A bunch of stuff happens in between. Finally, Israel crosses the Jordan, and then, as you know the story, they march around Jericho 7 times. And I'm going to pick up in chapter 6, 15, when they're on the 7th time marching around. So Joshua 6:15. "And on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of the day, marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city that all is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent.'" Go down to verse 22. "So then they attacked the city." Then verse 22. "But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, 'Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her.' So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brother and all who belonged to her. And they brought out all the relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Now I'm at verse 25. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Okay, now let's go back to Hebrews 11. So get in your Bible, New Testament, a bunch of Paul books, Hebrews, don't go to James, went too far. Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 31. Well, first, some background to chapter 11. Many of you know that Hebrews 11 is the heroes of faith chapter. It lists a whole bunch of people by faith. They did this, they did that, and it goes on. And it's very kind of rhetorical. By faith, by faith, by faith. Verse 1 and then also verse 1 and 2, there's a partial definition of faith. One part of faith is looking to the future. If you go in your Bible, chapter 11, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So it's emphasizing the looking forward part of faith. And ultimately, it's going to relate to getting to the new heavens and the new earth. Now, the heroes in the chapter demonstrate their faith in a variety of ways, and they have kind of faith-driven actions. And he goes through all their various faith-driven actions. Now, the book of Hebrews is written to a church of which some are wavering in their commitment to Christ. They're not sure they made the right decision. So there's some. Now, he's encouraging the true believers, who are true believers, they're going to stay in. But he's speaking also and warning the surface Christians, not really Christians, but they're attending church, of the seriousness of their decision to leave. And so part of this by faith is see, hey, they demonstrated faith. They stayed in the church. You, the readers, do the same thing. Okay, that's chapter 11. Now to verse 31. It starts out by faith, Rahab. Now, she had already confessed before the spies get there. She had seen that the Lord was Lord. We don't know how she found out about it, but she found out about the God of the Bible and she believed in the Lord. As it said in Joshua, the Lord, your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth below. Now, what specific action did she do? Well, committing herself. She welcomed the spies. She aids their escape. But more specifically, she committed herself to God and his people. And how did she do that? Initially, by helping the spies. She committed herself to God and God's church. She knew of God's promises in the long run. All would be well due to God's grace. Now, for her, in the short run, things did work out pretty well. Now, her city was destroyed, but her family was saved. So she was looking forward to the long, long run. And because of that, she made a decision, and that happened to help her in the short run. Now, the author of Hebrews pounds away on this long run. That's part of the emphasis of the whole book of Hebrews. He does say good things happen to believers in this world and bad things also happen to believers in the short run. In the immediate context, go back to verse 25, which is going to be talking about Moses. And notice we some bad things happen to Moses in his life because of his faith in God. 25, choosing, meaning Moses, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God and to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of being a very special person in Egypt the fleeting pleasures of sin. But even more to the point, okay, so verse 31, okay, we are at verse 31. Now look at verse 32. He sort of stops the by faith. But what more shall I have to say? I could talk about this guy, that guy, this guy. And then he's going to go in verse 33. He's going to start with all the good things that happen to people in this life because they believe in God. And then he's going to go to, yeah, but bad things happen to people in this life because they believe in God. But both groups are looking to the long run. Listen to this great section of scripture. I'm at verse 33, verse 11. Who? He named a bunch of guys in 32. Through faith, now all the positive things. They conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Were made strong out of weakness. Became mighty in war. Put foreign armies to fight. Women receive back their dead by resurrection. Positive, 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 positive. Now in the middle of 35, it switches. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, meaning out of their torture situation, so that they might rise again to a better life, the future resurrection. 36. Others suffered mockings and floggings, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. How gruesome. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats. And that's not a positive there. They went around in sheep, skins and goats. Destitute. Afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. They were wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And then he'll say, but they were looking for something better, which is ultimately the new heavens and new earth. So in one sense, are you a Rahab? Do you have faith in God's promises? Do you acknowledge yourself a sinner? You at least said it previously in our service. Do you trust in Christ alone for salvation, that He did the work for you? Do you believe in the long run that believers will get to the new heavens and new earth? Perfect bodies, perfect souls, with Christ and all other believers forever. Do you have faith-based actions like Rahab, where she welcomed the spies here? Do you exhibit, at least in a small way, faith-based actions? Do you love God's church? Rahab committed herself to God and His people. Do you love God's church? Of course, the church is not perfect, but you ought to love the church for many reasons. One reason, because God loves the church. If you will, turn with me to Psalms, middle of the Bible, Psalm 87. Where here the psalmist is speaking of the church. Psalm 87, first three verses. On the holy mount, he's going to use Jerusalem as a metaphor for the church. On the holy mount stands the city He, God, founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And then verse 3. Glorious things are said of you, and in Hebrew that you is a feminine meaning Jerusalem, meaning the church. Glorious things are said of you, the church, are spoken, O city of God. And at the end of the sermon, we're going to sing a hymn taking off on that verse. Glorious things of thee, the church, are spoken. Do you love the church? And I'm using the church broadly, not specifically this church. It'd be nice if you loved this church, but I'm taking the church broadly. Do you love the church? You ought to, because God loves it. Back to Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. Note the seriousness of that statement. The people of Jericho physically died, but that was a metaphor, as we can see for the book of Hebrews and a whole bunch of other places in the Bible. That was a metaphor for spiritual death also. And if you even look in chapter 11, the previous statement before Jericho, go back one more verse, verse 29, that's about the Egyptians. And they attempt to cross the Red Sea and they drown. Even though in our verse 31, did not perish with those who were disobedient. That's the same word used back in Hebrews 3, if you want to turn back to Hebrews 3. Here, the author of Hebrews is warning the church members, you know, you attend church, that's good. But, you know, the people in the wilderness, they were part of the church, too. On the outward sense of it, or what we call the visible church. But not all of them were believers. And many of them died not truly believing. So if you go to 3:18, he's in the middle of this argument. And to whom did he, God, swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Same word. So see that they were unable to enter into the promised land because of unbelief. So even in the book of Hebrews, in the Rahab story, the disobedient are not connected to the church, but the book of Hebrews is saying both groups are connected. Those in the church and not those in the church who don't really believe, and those outside the church. Don't be like those who said they were part of the church. This verse is to you. Do not perish with those who were disobedient. A very serious text. Also go back in Hebrews, verse 9:27, a famous verse. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. And the word judgment there could be positive or negative depending on the person, depending if they have belief in Christ or not. So verse 31 has a serious aspect to it. She did not perish with those who were disobedient. Another angle about Rahab. Rahab is not Jewish. Assume you grasp that. Now, what does Jewish really mean? A lot of things. But back in the Bible, it means you're ethnically, your gene pool is coming from Abraham. And in the chapter 11, heroes and heroines of the faith, once they get to Abraham, everybody else is in the line ethnically from Abraham, except for Rahab. She did not grow up in the church, so to speak. She had to choose God's church, ultimately from the Holy Spirit. It was not her natural social group. The original readers also had left their natural social group. Many of them were Jewish. They were attending Jewish synagogues. And they joined this thing called the church, the New Testament church. Of course, many of us have various social groups with which we interact. And we have non-Christian social groups. I trust you're not tempted to leave the church and go back to one of your other social groups or no group. This text also reminds us that when you witness to others, especially if they've never gone to church, God can convert them. It's amazing. He did it with Rahab. Have confidence to witness. There are other Rahabs out there. I know you know that, but the text gives you some confidence. So she was not ethnically Jewish. She came from the outside, had faith, and joined the church. But in addition to not being ethnically Jewish, she was a prostitute. We assume when she finally had faith in God, and maybe it was just shortly after that the spies come, we assume that she quit her profession. Maybe she quit after the battle. Doesn't really tell us. But why does the Bible keep calling her Rahab the prostitute, even when it's saying about faith? Well, it's similar to Matthew the tax collector, Simon the zealot. It's talking about her former profession. You might say Michael Jordan, the basketball player. He's no longer a basketball player, but you know, that's what we call him. So Rahab the prostitute. Interestingly, we have several ancient Jewish sources that are a little embarrassed by calling her Rahab the prostitute, and they stick in the innkeeper. Rahab the innkeeper. Now, maybe she was keeping an inn as the prostitute, but that wasn't the main point. There's other Jewish sources that just say Rahab the prostitute. Now, in Hebrews 11, we have all these great people. And it goes through by faith, this guy, by faith, by faith, by faith, this woman, this guy, these parents, by faith, by faith, by faith. And the final one is Rahab. Notice the rhetorical punch to the final person by faith is Rahab the prostitute. Who would pick that? God would. She's not even Jewish, but worse, she's a prostitute, or was a prostitute. This shows, does it not, the grace of God. God's church is many things, but one thing it is a place of grace. No matter your past, God can forgive you based on the work of Christ. God can change you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, in one sense, we're all Rahabs because we've all sinned. But in another sense, she has a higher level than most of us in heinousness of her background. But the point is, you're a minimal sinner or a big sinner, you're a sinner. And again, the emphasis on Rahab the prostitute to give you encouragement to pray and witness to those who don't seem like they'd ever become Christians. Rahab did. In fact, maybe we should have churches called like Rahab Memorial ARP Church. Well, maybe we won't, but. Let's go to another amazing thing about Rahab and grace. If you will, final place to turn, Matthew. Book of Matthew, first one of the New Testament, chapter 1. Again, Rahab, she's a former prostitute. She's not Jewish ethnically, although she became Jewish religiously, so to speak. After she joins the Israelites, and it's said in the text that she was there a long time. She marries a guy named Salmon, although in English it looks like the fish salmon, which you don't pronounce the L, that's confusing. But salmon, it's okay if you say salmon. She marries a guy named Salmon, Now look at Matthew 1. I'll start at verse 1. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now go to verse 5. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. Rahab the prostitute is in the gene pool of the human nature of Christ. What kind of an amazing thing. The grace shown to Rahab, the grace shown to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, his human nature, his genealogy includes Rahab, the non-Jewish prostitute. Conclusion. It is a serious and wonderful decision to commit yourself to God's people. Join and stay connected to the church. Rahab's faith-based action teaches us, yes, it can be difficult, but join and stay connected to God's church. She did. Rahab's rescue among the disobedient tells us there are serious consequences for those who never join the church. Very serious. Rahab's ethnicity teaches us that church people may not initially be your social group. Maybe you didn't grow up in the church, but you still need to join and persevere, as many of you have. Rahab's former profession teaches us it's another glimpse to the grace of God. Christ died for all types of people. Men, women, boys and girls, people from geography all over the world, and people, all whom were sinners, but different levels of sinners. Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can change anybody to be a believer. And finally, including Rahab in Christ's genealogy is another amazing glimpse at the grace of God. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Brothers and sisters, be a Rahab. Let us pray. Oh God, your love is so amazing. Help us to be both shocked and warmly encouraged by the story of Rahab. Heavenly Father, your love is so amazing that Christ died for us. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to believe. May we witness knowing that you can change whomever you will. And may we love the church and persevere in it because of our love for you. I pray this in the name of Christ, who gave himself for the church. Amen.